direct your attention to House Bill 1280, which would replace certain geographic names that use offensive names, words, or phrases.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Committee, direct your attention to
my
the witness,
My name is Ron
please.
Zelstra. I'm a member of Governor Janklow's staff. And what I'd like to do this morning is to bring you up to date some of the events that have taken place over the last year that leads us to where we are today with 1280, which, as you mentioned, has the purpose of replacing offensive and derogatory terms that are used to identify certain geographic locations around the state. During the past year, Governor Janklow has received letters from South Dakota citizens concerned for the continued use of derogatory terms or phrases to identify geographic locations within the state. These letters were received by, or sent by, and received by the governor, and the first person was Betty Ann Gross from Watertown. He also received a letter from Jerry Flute. Mr. Flute is the executive director of the Association on American Indian Affairs in Sisseton. Another letter from Lila Pingra of the Multicultural Consulting Services, and she's located at Buffalo Gap. The fourth letter was from Dr. Thomas J. Gask, who's a professor at the University of South Dakota. Professor Gask has written a paper titled Squaw Place Names in South Dakota and Beyond. And in his paper, he lists 27 geographic locations with squaw in the name. Both Betty Ann Gross and Lila Pengra, in their communication with the governor, listed the word Negro as well as squaw that are currently used in some locations to identify geographic names. Each of these citizens expressed concern for the use of the term squaw and Negro to identify geographic locations in South Dakota. They also asked the governor's help in replacing these names. The name change process began with the governor's April 7th of 2000 letter to the legislature. The governor stated his intention to introduce a bill that would result in the elimination of offensive place names. The process continued with a December 28th letter to the 17 counties with locations that reference squaw or Negro. The letter addressed to the county commission chairman informed them of his plan to introduce this legislation that would eliminate the derogatory terms as they identified geographic place names and locations in South Dakota. And they also asked their support in providing replacement names. Attached to the county commissioner's letter was a list of all the counties involved and those locations that use the word squaw or Negro in identifying that location. Beginning the second week of January, we started to follow up with the counties to make certain that, first of all, they had received the letter and asked if the name change topic had been placed on the county commissioner's docket agenda. And in some cases, very frankly, the letters had not been received for one reason or another, and we simply faxed them a letter and to make certain that everyone was singing off the same sheet of music with us. During that week, we talked with all the counties. Most generally, it was with the auditor, because we find that the auditors are the ones that prepare the agenda in most cases. And we did receive recommendations from 9 counties. Lake County deferred the issue to Franklin County, and Meade County has the replacement name topic, the derogatory term topic, on their agenda for tomorrow. And we will follow up with them, and we'll continue to follow up with Franklin County. I would say that all of the other counties that have not yet submitted recommendations, we will continue to work with them and encourage them to make their recommendations.
Thank you, sir. We'll hold questions until testimony is completed. Are there further proponents of House Bill 1280? Further proponents? Come forward, please. And before you begin, Amanda, would you go down to House Transportation and tell Representative Van Norman we will probably be taking his bill up in about 10 minutes? Thank you.
Thank you, Welcome. Chair. My name is Mary Ann McCullen. Mary Ann Bear Heels McCullen. I am a Rosebud Sioux Tribal member. I'm here today in support of this bill. On what I have to say is, first of all, the word squaw is not a Native American word. And this is how I feel about this word, that I am from the woman nation that I represent of our tribe. And I really, really would like support on this bill for the change, the word squaw to whatever name the foundation or organization our counties come up with. And so I had a whole speech ready to get down, but I feel that the gentleman before me has said quite a bit. So I would just make this real short and just say I really do hope you all support this bill here.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
On the woman today. Nation. Thank you.
Further proponents of House Bill 1280, please come forward. Welcome.
Good morning. My name is Grace Bad.
Ma'am, if you could just scoot up there.
My name is Grace Badhand, member of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe. I'm here in regards to HB 1280 on Mayor Bear Heels on ethno opinions to words and phrases. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Further proponents of House Bill 1280. Welcome.
Chairman and committee, my name is Grace Badmoxon. And I've been living here in Pierre for 38 years. And my complaint is why do the cops stop Perner every car that comes off the reservation and want to know who's in the car and, you know, this and that. Before, when I lived here, this never went on. Okay. But now I got a scanner.
Ma'am, if I could interrupt you for just a second. That's a different bill, and we'll be getting to that next.
Oh,
if I could
okay.
just invite you back up at that time.
Okay.
We are on House Bill 1280 right now.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That's quite all right, ma'am. We'll look forward to your testimony in just a few minutes. Further proponents of House Bill 1280.
Chairman, committee members, my name is Madonna Thunderhawk. And I live on the east end of the Cheyenne River Reservation up north here, small community of Swiftbird. I came down here to testify on another bill, but when I saw this, I was shocked. You know, here it is, year 2001, and one of the counties here that's part of my reservation is Zeebaugh County. Squatit Butte, Squatit Creek. Now see, I didn't know any of this in all my years, because on reservations we have our own names for land sites and creeks. We don't go by the map, the Washita map, the non-Indians map. So I am totally shocked to see this. And I'm just looking around the room at these educated, obviously educated, influential people, and I'm just wondering, in the seat of power and influence you have, that this is just now coming. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Further proponents of House Bill 1280. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Jean Koster is my name for South Dakota Peace and Justice Center. The Peace and Justice Center supports this bill. It's what we would call a no-brainer. And then, as an individual, sister woman of these women, I certainly am in support. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Further proponents of House Bill 1280. Any further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1280? Welcome.
Midakiapi, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is James Starkey. I'm a Tazib Chol Lakota. Matters such as this are very touchy, and I mean to offend nobody. But the degrees of differing opinion from end to end in the spectrum of the Lakota people is wide. We've had generations grow up under the Indian Reorganization Act, which dismantled our infrastructure and replaced it. I'm allegedly from the Cheyenne River Sioux tribe, but that never existed prior to an offshoot of the War Department creating that, putting four tribes together. And what sealed my opinion to oppose this bill was visiting the governor's office this morning, looking for the mural that he once claimed to have removed. That was the quote, that he's the one that took down the mural. Yet it's not removed, it's simply covered up. This is just another example of whitewashing the historically antithetical relationship between the indigenous people and the status quo. And I'm quite offended at this condescending bone that we've been tossed, another bone to the dogs that has no meat. I'd rather have things like Nigger Creek and Squaw Humper Butte remain because they are indicative of the relationship we have with the state. The same gentleman, Governor Janklow, who was quoted as saying, government shouldn't be in the business of hurting people's feelings, also called the Civil Rights Commission report, the culmination of hundreds of Lakota's testimony, garbage. So I see this bill as doing nothing but whitewashing history and making the oppressor feel better about himself. To quote Malcolm X, I'd rather have somebody who's a devil say he's a devil than to come off acting like an angel. How pilamia yalo midaku yase.
Thank you, sir. Further opponent testimony. Welcome.
Good morning. My name is Chris Hills. I live in Spearfish. I am a graduate of Black Hills State University and hold a Master of Arts degree from Arkansas State University. 13 years ago, while under the tutelage of the late Dr. David B. Miller, I first began my study of South Dakota history. To date, my study has resulted in 2 published books, several magazine and newspaper articles, a Black Hills history calendar, and perhaps most significant of all, a deep and abiding appreciation of the past. It is this appreciation, and only this appreciation, that compels me to now speak. The issue of offensive place names has been with us for quite some time. It has appeared and disappeared from the pages of state newspapers since the 1960s, when the struggle for civil rights began to grab national headlines. But even before then, there were many disagreements, frequently heated, over place names. What to call Western Lawrence County's Negro Hill, for example, has been a burning topic of conversation since the hill first took its name in the late spring of 1876. Subsequent attempts to clean it up merely inflamed passions and personal politics and ultimately resulted in a name far more offensive than the original. House Bill 1280 is, to the best of my knowledge, the first legislative attempt at settling these disputes in an orderly, bipartisan manner to correct, in fact, the indifferences of past generations with the norms of the present one. I applaud the governor's courage, as well as your own, to tackle this issue head-on with a determination which will undoubtedly produce much-needed change. As we proceed to rid our state of insulting place names, there are, in my opinion, several other things to consider. In its current form, House Bill 1280 does not address or provide a recourse for those features bearing offensive names that are located on private property. One must question whether or not state government or even the United States Board on Geographic Names has a legal authority to change a name of such a place without the landowner's consent. I would argue that those law-abiding individuals who pay their property taxes each and every year at least deserve some sort of notification that their hill or canyon or etc. is slated for a name change. Moreover, their participation in this process should not only be encouraged, but take precedence over the suggestions of the Board of Water and Natural Resources, the Board of Minerals and Environment, and the Transportation Committee, with all due respect. This brings me to my second point. As it is now worded, House Bill 1280 would needlessly change some names, and let me stress some names, to the extent where the new names are not even remotely affiliated with the old. To completely bury the past in this manner is wrong. Place names are our most basic historic resource. They should not be trifled with before considerable thought has been given to the ramifications of changing them. If we allow them to be replaced by names that do not accurately express history, then South Dakota is much less the place for it. History, in my professional opinion, is what you make it. To perfectly sanitize it, as Section 4 of the bill does with respects to Lawrence County's Negro Hill, Negro Gulch, and Squaw Creek, is a bridge too far. By changing their names to Patriot Hill, Patriot Gulch, and Sunshine Creek, the bill turns their place names into dead ends, and thus robs history of its ability to teach. Therefore, I propose that House Bill 1280 include guidelines which will not only provide the notification and input of applicable property owners, but also affect replacement names that are politically correct, yet still reflect our rich and varied past. Let no one here be mistaken. I'm not against clearing the state of offensive names. I'm against replacing them with names that are contrived and irrelevant. Therefore, I further propose that the name of Lawrence County Squaw Creek be changed to Cleopatra Creek in honor of the century-old Cleopatra Gold Mill, which is located there. That in accordance with early mining records, the name of Negro Gulch be changed to Last Chance Gulch, and that in accordance with those same mining records, the name of Negro Hill be changed to African Hill. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, sir, for coming. Further opponents? Any further opponents?
Can I add something?
Briefly, sir, I will give you that courtesy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'd like to point out that one time I read 182 business names in Sioux Falls that included Sioux Falls, Sioux Empire, Sioux Land, and Super. We've got Dakota First News there. All those things that are actually irrelevant, and it's more injurious to the Lakota people to be continued to be called Sioux. But that's just an example of the ease of this bill, changing simple things like Squaw and not tackling a big issue like changing the name of Sioux Falls. How?
Thank you. Any further opponent testimony? One more time. Any further opponents to House Bill 1280? Seeing none, I will open the committee hearing to questions and answers from the committee. And if the gentleman from the governor's office would come back up, I have a couple of questions for you. If you could, in response to the gentleman, I think you were from Spearfish, sir, could you review for us how the names were selected, the change names were selected? And secondly, on those where you show no recommendation, does that mean that the counties have not met yet to determine a replacement name?
In answer to your last question, I mentioned at the end of my earlier testimony is that we consider that still an open issue with those counties. We will continue to work with those counties. When I use the word we, I don't like to use the word I am the one who will do it. So I don't give that project to someone else. I will continue to work with those counties.
If I may, for example, under Meade County, you have no recommendation listed four times. Does that mean that Meade County is resisting change?
No. Meade County has it on their the county commissioner topic for their meeting tomorrow. They missed the January date. They didn't receive their letter in time for some reason. They will talk about it tomorrow, and then I will call them on Wednesday.
Is there any county resisting making these changes?
I don't know if I would use the word resist. Some are more enthusiastic about the process, and some have enthusiastically presented recommendations, and others are a bit more deliberate in their approach to the process.
And then if you could go back to my original question is, how were the change names chosen?
Well, basically what the counties did is they discussed it either in public or in their own forums. I can begin with Coddington. The original name was Squaw Lake. The commissioners chose the name Serenity Lake. And it just so happens that that lake is near a range of hills locally known as Serenity Hills. In Fall River, the Squaw Flat was changed to Hat Creek Flat. There was once an Indian Hat Creek, and that was replaced. And there also was a polling place by the name of Hat.
So, in other words, one could make the assumption that the local counties, in choosing these names, found some other geographical representation historical meaning in making the change.
If I may say, for Jones County, it was their recommendation was to rename it Pitan, P-I-T-A-N Creek. The Pitans have lived at the mouth of the creek on the White River since the early 1900s. So that's a significant.
You've answered my question. Thank you very much. Additional questions? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What concerns me about this bill is not what the opponents have brought up, but the fact that we have no recommendation listed. Is it your intent then on the Senate side to amend the new place names into law so that they're are represented, or on the statute books are we going to have Negro Canyon with no replacement name?
I can't speak for the Senate side, of course, but I will we will continue to work towards coming up with a name.
Well, perhaps I've not been clear. When we pass this law, Squaw Lake becomes Serenity Lake by act of the legislature and signature of the governor.
Yes, it does.
Negro Wool Ridge becomes no recommendation in law. And so my question is, on the Senate side, are you going to amend those new names in? Next year, do we come back with another bill to take care of that? Because when you have no recommendation in the law, Little Squaw Creek becomes no recommendation on the signs.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
It doesn't simply. What has to happen to change? Well, the sign, yes, the state does have the authority to change the signs, but not the federal maps. I was not involved in drafting the legislation. My job has been to gather the information and interface with the counties. There is no reason that the House cannot also make some recommendations on names. Each one of the members of, there is a representative for those counties that are listed in this list of offensive names, and there's no reason why the individual in that particular county can't become involved also in making some recommendations, at least from my perspective.
We need to begin moving on with your permission, Representative Olson. Representative Michaels.
Very quickly, sir, could you turn to Section 3 of the bill, and maybe that would answer the process? I mean, I think you highlighted in your original testimony, but...
Yes, I did. Basically, the bill has a provision that once the bill becomes law, there is a 90-day period where governmental entities, whether it's a township, a county, a city, a private individual or group of individuals can make a recommendation, and then those recommendations go to the DENR. And then at the end of that, there's a 60-day period where the Board of Water and Natural Resources, the Board of Minerals and Environment, and the Transportation Commission then can approve those. So there is a provision in the bill. We still have some time to determine some replacement names. We will not, at the end of today or at the end of the day when the bill becomes law, say that's all we have to do. We're going to continue. I will continue to work on it. I'm uncomfortable with the fact, and the governor is too, that the fact that there are some open blanks or no recommendation. I don't know if that answers your question.
Any additional, if you could be quick, Representative Glinski.
I just have a question about the gentleman who testified in opposition and had some alternate names for Squaw Creek, Negro Gulch, and Negro Hill in Lawrence County. Was there some historic reason for Sunshine Creek, Patriot Gulch, and Patriot Hill?
If you would come forward, sir.
No, I'm asking this gentleman, because those names are there.
I thought you were...
If the bill goes through as written, those names are there already?
Those are the names that were submitted by the county commissioners. In some cases, as I have talked with the auditors or county commissioners, they have passed to me historical references to the new names. Others chose not to do that. I do not know. I can't answer your question as to whether or not there is some basis or reference to history in the selection of those names.
Then just one small follow-up question. In those instances, if the gentleman who suggested alternate names, does he have any input, or are these automatic if the bill passes as written?
I would think until the bill becomes law, and again, I'm not an expert. I didn't draft the legislation. I don't mean to be trying to escape from the question, but I don't know how legislation is created. That's not my job. I work on projects for the governor. So I can't answer your question. I would think for the next few days, as we continue to obtain these replacement names, we'll be able to do that.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to defer action on House Bill 1280 at this time, and we will